Welcome all of you to join us in this online service on Sunday, 17th of October, 2021. I would say to you, you know, all of you are part of our online worship community, so don't hesitate to contact us if you have any inquiry, feedback, or need prayer support. By the way, I'm Irun Kim, the minister of LPUC. In today's service, Helen from Otter Narin Church is going to read the Bible, and Gloria from Lugano Picos Narin doing the prayer. Today is the third week of the sermon series, Explore How to Read the Bible. How do you find this series so far? I hope that the last Sunday service may give you a glimpse of big picture of the Bible. How is your reading going? I hope that you may succeed to complete the 3-week reading plan that I provide you on the first week. And my prayer for this series is that you may be inspired to make a habit of reading the Bible consistently. Today, we are going to talk about the Bible as the Word of God. And Alex from Otter Narin is going to give us the message later. Remember from last week, I began to announce about the Jesus, the Game Changer Season 2 study. Here is the trailer, you know, with the details of church-wide study. And I would encourage you to register today so that you may have a place in a small group.
The spread of Christianity across the centuries is a remarkable story. From a backwater in the Roman Empire to become a truly global faith. It transcends cultures, social classes, language, and ethnic groups.
The question we should ask is, what did the people who were most close to Jesus do after his ascension to the Father? And the answer is, they went on mission.
Go and preach the gospel. Make disciples.
But what compelled ordinary people to face difficulty, danger, and even death to take the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth?
Is this idea of going where the gospel is not yet.
I was living in darkness, and Jesus bright light to my life.
The ends of the earth is Jesus' way of saying no one is exempt.
When you know that Jesus loves you and your sins are forgiven, you can't help but share it.
Jesus the Game Changer to the ends of the earth follows the movement of Christianity around the world, telling some of the great stories of vision, faith, and sacrifice.
Our plea for the church in the West is never to give up this faith that we are dying for in Africa.
It will take some cost.
Are we really bringing the whole gospel in a way that is salty and light-bearing?
You know, Christianity, in the face of persecution and opposition, has actually taken this message to the ends of the earth. As people have talked about the life and teaching of Jesus, it's become a global game changer.
Difference is dissolved. Christ has come for the whole of humanity.
The true missionary activity is not to find people who've never heard of Christ, but to go to the places where people have known and forgotten.
Now, it's our time.
Let us begin our service by prayer. We come to worship you, loving God, not because we are better than others, but because we have been found by your love. We come not because we are smarter than others, but because Christ has loved us in our ordinariness and called us to be His sisters and brothers. We come to express our love for You in our own incomplete way. Yet we dearly wanted to love You increasingly until our complete lives become a breathing, living, walking, and working faith. So Lord, help us to open our mind and our hearts to focus on You and experience of Your presence, Your forgiveness, Your inspiration, Your healing, and all the blessings upon us. In the name of Your Son, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let us worship God together by singing or listening to first two songs, How Great is Our God, and Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
The splendor of the King, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how our God, and all will see how great is our God. Age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great.
And the things of earth. Good morning. My name is Helen Phillips and I'm from the Oatley Congregation. Our first reading this morning is from Ezra chapter 7 verses 6 to 10. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well versed in the laws of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observation of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Our second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also had the prophetic message of something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday, we talked about what the story of the Bible is and tried to see the big picture of the Bible. And we found that the kingdom of God is an overarching theme in the Bible. And that from the beginning to the end, God's kingdom is the focus of what God does. His interactions with the people and his work here on earth. When God chose Israel, it was in relation to the kingdom. God's covenant promises are kingdom promises. God's kingdom was the dominant theme in Jesus' teaching as he began his public ministry by proclaiming, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near." Jesus taught that his mission was to introduce the kingdom in fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. When Jesus saves men from their wrongdoings and declares them righteous, it is with a view to his kingdom. When Jesus died, it was to make that kingdom possible. Furthermore, we found a cycle in the scripture. We sin, we do wrong things, judgment follows, and then there is grace. This is the pattern in the entire stories of the Bible. See, Genesis chapter 3. This cycle is seen in the story of the fall. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command and did wrong choice against God, they had to leave the Garden of Eden. But God showed his continued love for Adam and Eve by providing clothes for them. In Israel's history, we find out the same pattern that took place in the Garden of Eden. People of Israel failed to live under God's rule. They kept wandering away from God, going after the other gods and neighbors living around them. What happened? As a result, they too were rejected from God's place. The kingdom was split into two. People of Israel were taken into exile. God's blessing was removed as it was. It seems like everything goes wrong. It seems like that might be the end of the story. But story goes on, even though there seems no future and no hope. What God continues to declare through prophets in the Old Testament is that God will fulfill his promises through this great son of David, who is also a son of God. The perfect kingdom will be established through Jesus Christ. Now, as we are waiting for the coming of Christ, our role and our responsibility is to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God to people in our community, in our world, and also live for this kingdom. Today, as we move on to the next theme, the Bible, the Word of God, we are going to watch another video of the Bible Project.
The Bible is a collection of many books, telling one unified story from beginning to end. But all those books were written in different literary styles.
Yeah, think of it like walking into a bookstore where every aisle has a different kind of literature. There's history, or poetry, or nonfiction. And when you choose an aisle and pick up a book, you're going to have very different expectations, different things that you're looking for.
Right, they're all literature, but they communicate in really different ways.
Yes, and so the same thing is true for the Bible. If you don't pay attention to what style it's written in, you will miss out on the brilliance of each book.
So, what are the main types of literature in the Bible?
Well, first and foremost is narrative. It makes up a whopping 43% of the Bible. After that is poetry, which is 33% of the Bible. And then there's what you could call prose discourse, which makes up the remaining 24%.
Nearly half the Bible is narrative.
Yes, and this is no accident. Stories are the most universal form of human communication. Our brains are actually hardwired to take in information through stories.
And stories are really enjoyable. Why is that?
Well, stories train us to make sense of the seemingly random events that happen in life by taking those events and then putting them in a sequence. And then together you can start to see the meaning and purpose of it all.
And what links this all together?
Well, good stories always have a character who wants something. And then through these characters, an author can explore life's big questions, like who are we, or what's really important in life. And a good story always involves some kind of conflict.
Some challenge to overcome, just like in our own lives.
And that forces us to think about our own challenges, why there's so much pain or disappointment in the world, and then what can we do about it? And stories usually end with some kind of resolution, giving us hope for our own stories.
Since these are Bible stories, are the characters showing me how I should live?
Yeah, that's not quite the point. Most Bible characters are deeply flawed. You should not be like them. But we are supposed to see ourselves in them, which helps us then see our lives and failures from a new perspective. And without even realizing it, these stories will start to mess with you and change how you see the world and other people and yourself.
Now, there are different types of narrative in the Bible.
Yeah, there's historical narrative, but also narrative parables, short biographical narratives like the four Gospels. We'll look at all these in later videos.
Okay, next up is poetry, which honestly, I don't read a lot of.
Yeah, you're like most people. But one out of every three chapters in the Bible is poetry.
Yeah, why so much poetry?
Well, poems mainly speak through dense, creative language, linking together images to help us envision the world differently. Poems use lots of metaphor to evoke your emotions and your imagination.
Lots of fancy language, but wouldn't it be easier just to tell me what I need to know?
Well, think about it. In life, we tend to form mental ruts, and we think in these familiar, well-worn paths that are very hard to get out of through logic or reasoning. And what good poetry does is force you off the familiar path into new territory.
Sneaky.
And there's different types of poetry in the Bible. There's lots of types of songs or psalms. There's the reflective poetry of the wisdom books, and then the passionate resistance poetry of the prophets.
Okay, the last big literary type is called prose discourse, and it makes up a quarter of the Bible.
Yeah, these are speeches, letters, or essays. And the focus here is building a sequence of ideas or thoughts into one linear argument that requires a logical response. Like, hey, have you thought about this thing? You should also consider how it connects to this other thing. And if you do, then you will see that this is the result. And in light of that conclusion, therefore, you should probably stop doing that one thing so that this other thing will be the outcome.
So you're persuading me with reason.
Yeah, discourse forces you to think logically and consistently and then do something about it. Biblical discourse is found in law collections, in wisdom literature, and the letters written by the apostles.
Okay, so each book of the Bible has one literary style.
No, actually most books have a primary literary style, like narrative, for example. But then embedded in the narrative, you'll come across poems or parables or a collection of laws. Every biblical book is a unique combination of literary styles.
And to read that book well, I need to be familiar with each literary type and how it works.
Yeah, so you know what to pay attention to and what questions you should ask. But before we look at each type, there's one more unifying feature of biblical literature that's really important and really cool. And that's what we'll explore next.
Today, as we continue our series on Explore How to Read the Bible, we want to focus on handling the Word of God. In other words, how do we get a handle on this book, the Bible? We can know about it, but how do we get into it and make it a vital part of our daily living? The Bible is not given to give us information, but rather to enable transformation in our lives, to conform us to Christ and produce Christ-likeness in us. The Bible is about the covenants of God, the redemption plan of God, and about the kingdom of God. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the word testament means covenant. And in the Bible, a covenant refers to a divine promise, even though they are distinct, they are not contradictory. Contrary to popular opinion, there is no difference between the Old Testament God and the New Testament God. You need to understand this because the Old Testament is not out of date and the New Testament is not Plan B. There is certainly a division in time between the Old and New Testament. In fact, there is a gap of about 400 years between them, but there is not a division in theme. The Old and New Testaments are like two sides of the same coin. They are like two halves of a sentence. They both go together. A good way to remember it is this: the new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed. Why does any of this matter? If the Bible is just another book, it doesn't, but there are two words we have used already that tells us why it is important. The first word is the word revelation. It comes from a Latin word which means to draw back the curtain. It was a theater term because only when the curtain was pulled back could you see what was behind it. The authors of the Bible believed and said their writings were God revealing himself and the truth about himself, which otherwise we would never know. The second word is the word inspiration. It goes back to the verse that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God. Inspired refers to it being God-breathed. And we believe that God used people to write these books and God used people to collect these books. But in these books, we have exactly the books God wanted us to have to contain that exact information he wanted us to know. As one of the apostles, Peter, put it, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. To put it another way, God revealed the truth, humans recorded the truth, the church recognized the truth. Or to put it still in another way, this book was divinely communicated, providentially collected, and spiritually commended. To this very day, whenever a British sovereign is crowned, as the Bible is placed in his or her hands, these words are uttered. This book is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the oracles of God. And it really is, because it was signed, sealed, and delivered by God himself. The translator of the King James Bible wrote in 1611, God's sacred word is that inestimable treasure that excelleth all the riches of the earth. Two verses this morning to set us on our tracks. Joshua 1:8 reads, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. If it is important then how we handle it or use it, it is described as the comprehensive tool for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, and to make us complete and be equipped for every good work. The hand illustration is an easy to remember tool, highlighting five methods of learning from the Bible, or to handle the Word. Use it for your own spiritual growth and to share with someone else. Firstly, hearing the Word from preachers, pastors, and teachers provide fresh insight into the Scriptures. The weakest finger, the pinky, represents hearing, because we retain only 5% of what we hear. Reading gives us an overview of the Bible and is the foundation for a daily quiet time. This is represented by the ring finger. We generally retain 15% of what we read. Reading 3 to 4 chapters daily enables one to read through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. Thirdly, studying the Scriptures deepens our convictions. It requires greater time and effort, but results in increased Bible knowledge, and most people retain 35% of what they study. This is represented by the middle finger. Memorizing God's Word enables us to use the sword of the Spirit to overcome temptations and to have verses readily available for ministering to others. The index finger, our strongest finger, represents memorization. We remember 100% of what we memorize if we consistently review it. Meditation, finally, is the inward process that accompanies each of the other four methods of Scripture intake. This is why meditation is assigned to the thumb. Only the thumb can touch all the other four fingers. By meditating on God's Word as we hear, read, study, and memorize, we discover its transforming power at work in us. The Old Testament has an account of a Jewish priest, scribe, and leader named Ezra. He was a fascinating character, and his name literally means help. Nehemiah is another person, and his name means comfort. They were part of a little group of returned exiles who needed help and comfort. Ezra was a direct descendant of Aaron and had priestly heritage, and he was the second of three key leaders to leave Babylon for the reconstruction of Jerusalem: Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Zerubbabel reconstructed the temple. We read that in Ezra 3 and verse 8. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, and we read that in his book, chapters 1 and 2. And Ezra restored the worship. Ezra was sent with religious and political powers by the Persian king Artaxerxes to lead a group of Jewish exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem, a 900-mile journey that lasted 4 months, and Ezra brought the Scriptures with him from Babylon, probably the books of the law from Genesis to Deuteronomy. And with them, Ezra reestablished worship and renewed the celebration of festivals, and supported the rededication of the temple and the rebuilding of the Jerusalem wall. Ezra is described as a scripture man because he did three things with the Scriptures. He studied it, lived it, and taught it. It is comparably easy to do the first and the third, but he realized that it was very important that his life as well as his lips spoke the Scriptures. Ezra 7 and verse 10 reads, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." Many years ago, actually 45 years ago, while studying in seminary, I heard a message on Ezra and it gripped my heart. I made a commitment and set my heart to do what Ezra did, to study the Word of God diligently, to apply it to my life consistently, and to learn to teach it. That has shaped me to be the minister of the Word that I am today. To study is a discerning pursuit, searching for what we know. To do is a deliberate obedience of how to grow, and to teach is a determined transference of what we need in our lives. Ezra's devotions to the scriptures led to a tender heart that wept over other people's sins and deep concern for their lives. There are so many things that had gone wrong in the place Jerusalem they had returned to. The teaching, reading, and return to scriptures made the difference for the people of God in Jerusalem. What did the word do? The result was a revival and restoration that the people of God experienced, and we read the account in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. Let's look at what happened. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. It's a water gate incident. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. Then he proceeded to read aloud from the daybreak till noon. Just imagine, from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. He opened the book and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, Amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Just look at the amazing impact here at the Watergate. My prayer is this, for this impact to happen in our congregation and in each one of our lives. The psalmist states it in Psalm 119 and verse 130, "The entrance, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." The Bible is not a difficult mystery book. It's an open book and God speaks through it to us. In fact, it is God in print to us, or Jesus in print to us. It requires a response from us. So I commend Ezra's pursuit to you. Set your heart to study. Do and teach the word. Begin by hearing it more, then read more of it, and complement it by studying it, memorizing it, and meditate or reflect on it more. Remember, the entrance of God's words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. And let God's word impact your life and transform you totally. Amen.
Of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings. Seen heavenly storehouses there. souls to its light. Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Gloria, and I'm leading our prayers for others today. Let us all now join together in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, as always, when we come seeking your presence in this time of prayers for others, we come with hearts full of thankfulness, so thankful for the amazing blessings that fill our daily lives. God, you are kind and loving and gracious, and may we show those qualities to all that we meet, especially when they are in need of a helping hand. This past week, we have so much to be thankful for. Finally, after so many weeks of restrictions, when visiting family or friends wasn't possible, when our normal lifestyle was changed dramatically, when work, school and play all changed, we are now finally able to enjoy more freedom. Oh, and great is our rejoicing. As Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness. And for these blessings, we do indeed. Thank you, our gracious Heavenly Father, for sustaining us through many difficult days. Thank you that when we call to you, you provided the strength and patience. As always, you were and always will be our rock and our shelter in all the storms of life. Your loving arms are always ready to lift us up in times of our greatest needs. Loving Father, as we pray, we do so according to your will, knowing that you answer in your way and in your time. Let us open our minds to your guidance and humbly submit to your way. Thank you for the encouragement of answered prayers. That's helping our faith grow in the power of prayer. We now want to pray for our blessings for our families. Please guard them, guide them, and cater to their needs. We pray for our church family, for our friends, and for our neighbours. Oh, how great thou art. You know the special needs of all we pray for those suffering pain, those mourning, those in need of strength and faith, the lonely, the homeless, the oppressed. We pray for an easing of all their suffering. As members of the Lugano Peakhurst Uniting Church and Oakley Uniting Church, we give thanks for the online services and printed sheet that continues to bring us the message of your word. Your word that nourishes us, inspires us and challenges us. Thank you, Ilung and Alex and our lay preachers. Thank you for the great team. It's great teamwork that produces such a great online service. Thank you also for the church councillors and leaders for their caring fellowship by keeping contact with all the church family. We pray, Father, for your blessing on all who are just so willing to serve you. And we think of Margaret now, who is in hospital, and do pray for peace and comfort for the Walter family too, and for Graham and June Bulow and Coral Martin. And we give thanks that visiting is now possible in nursing homes and hospitals. And we pray for the Operation Christmas Child, the packing of the boxes. Thanks to Annette and her team for the lovely collection of gifts, all packed with love that will bring such joy to all the children receiving them. Great teamwork continues to keep the families of Messy Church and Mainly Music part of our outreach activities. We do pray, Father, for your blessing on all the teams and families. Loving Father, we pray for the churches in our locality and throughout the world. There are so many who gather to worship under very difficult and dangerous situations. We pray, please protect them. We bring our prayers for our leaders, those in our community, our state and nation. Prayers that your wisdom and guidance will be in truth, integrity and justice, continuing the peace and freedom of our great nation. Thank you for all the health workers and their dedicated work. Thank you, Father, for the provision of the vaccine for our protection. As we go into the week ahead, please help us to show kindness and caring whenever we can, that we'll always be willing to help others. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Several announcements for today. For your information, we are going to regather for worship when the 80% fully vaccinated is reached, so that everyone can attend the Sunday gathering. Until then, we'll continue to worship together online. There will be another trivia on Sunday, 24th of October at 4 p.m. Everyone is welcome to the trivia afternoon. And if you like, then send 5 multiple choice questions of general knowledge to irung@lpuc.org.au by Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 20th of October. You can find some requirements on the screen. Remember, there are a few prizes, so don't miss this fun afternoon. The topic of this month's May Church is Let Us Celebrate. And an at-home activity kit for families will be delivered early this week. So if you want more information, feedback, or request this kit, please contact the Message Church team. A Mainly Music Zoom gathering will be held tomorrow. So if you have any inquiry, contact Natalie. Do you need prayer? If you need prayer support, please email us. And our prayer team will pray for you and support you. Please don't hesitate to contact us. Jesus the Game Changer Season 2 study will start from Sunday, 31st of October to 5th of December for 6 weeks. There will be small group studies at church in person on Wednesdays and Zoom study on Thursdays. So please register by 20th of October. In your registration, please indicate whether you attend the study in person or Zoom, and also whether you will use a free app or require a discussion guidebook. And so that we would organize a small group and also organize a hard copy for you. So more information and registration, please contact us. This is blessing. In the power of Holy Spirit, we now go forth into the world to fulfill our calling as the people of God, the body of Christ. Go in peace and care for one another in Christ's name. May God bless you with a vision to see His glory. May Christ bless you with a constant desire to feed upon His body and His blood. And may the Spirit keep you with every grace to show forth the power and the love of God and to know His peace and joy, both now and always. Amen. This is an end of today's online service. Thank you for your participation. Hope you have a very blessed day and blessed week. And see you next week.
I got no worries. Me.